Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the second of the wide lines on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. If you prefer, 12 lines from the bottom at the end of the line. You'll notice the word Omar. But before we begin the Gemara, we have some topic headings and structural notes to deal with. The Nosei Mivneh that you see to the side of the Gemara, the Nosei is the topic. Mivneh represents the structural note. A bow tie shape will appear, and if you glance at the Gemara, you'll notice that there is also a numbering 1 and 2. 3 lines from the bottom, there's a bow tie number 2. These represent Shnei Lishonos Hafuchos, 2 opposite versions, Shel Shmuel, Be'inyin Habo al Eishes Cheresh, a woman married to a Cheresh. So an outsider, some other man, comes and has intimacy with her. I chayovin oleo osham tolui. Would one be expected to bring a suspended guilt offering? Naturally, a man that has relations with a regular married woman, of course unintentionally, he brings a korban chatos, a sin offering. This is a different kind of offering, an osham tolui. This is a situation where there is, generally speaking, an osham tolui is brought when there is an element of doubt concerning that type of offense, when if there were no doubt, the sacrifice that would need to be brought is a korban chatos. An osham tolui, therefore, is brought when the circumstances are doubtful. That's in general terms, and we'll see how it's applied here. Let us now take note also of another marking. You'll notice we have a trapezoid-type shape, or a volcano shape. And you'll also notice that it appears in alternating directions. The marking scheme that reflects is a type of back and forth structure. We'll come back to make note of that a bit later. So let's first open up with the Gemara. Omar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Omar Shmuel, Eishes Cheresh, Ein Chayovin Oleo Osham Tolui. The wife of a deaf mute, if some other man has intimacy with her, it will not result in the bringing of a sacrifice known as the Osham Tolui. What would you have thought otherwise? So let's take a look at Rashi. That you'll find on the fourth wide line, Ein chayovim oleo osham tolui. Dineimo, that one should think, sofek eishes ishi, that there is an element of doubt that she is considered a married woman. Sofek hoya boy das, sofek ein boy. Did he have intention when marrying her, or did he not have intention? Va'bo oleo osham tolui. If that was the case, then one who had intimacy with her, an outsider, would be obligated to bring the Osham Tolui. Devadai, why is there no need for Osham Tolui? Devadai, ein lo shum kinyan min haTorah. Because it is with certainty that we say that he has no ability to acquire. Being that that's the case, since the deaf mute has no ability to acquire, the woman to whom he's married is not considered a wife insofar as being obligated to bring a sacrificial offering when intimacy was done without intent. Now, that having been said, Shmuel made his point that Eishes Cheirish Ein Chayavim Olea Osham Talui. The Gemara now suggests there's a question. You'll notice it lasts a number of lines. Leimo Messiah Le. Can we bring support to Shmuel? Now, we should also note on the side of our Gemara, you'll notice the house shape that appears. Mokur Shuhu Kenisayon Lisayea. The source that we bring in now is the source brought in as an attempt to support. Later, when we enter the second Lashon of Shmuel, you'll notice the same marking but inverted. And we've noted Oysa Mokur Huva Ketyufta. Later, this will be brought as a refutation on Shmuel. We have a continued note on the side. We call it a tatnose mivne, a subtopic with a specific structural characteristic. Hagemora mivareres. The Gemara will start to analyze lefi alishno kamo, according to the first version. Hadam Shmuel habal eishes cheresh enu chayav oshem talui. Haim efshir lisayo mimokor behilchis truma, shetrumas cheresh eino truma. We're going to try to bring support to him, and that's what the volcano shape indicates, the attempt to bring support to him from laws concerning truma. Shetrumas cheresh eino truma. If a cheresh, a deaf mute, tithes, the separation that he does is of no meaning. Ukemoi she'ein trumaso truma klal, and just like we say that his truma is not considered truma at all, gam eishes cheresh ein lo bo kinyin min haTorah klal. So too, the deaf mute, when it comes to his marrying a woman, so from a Torah standpoint, nothing takes hold. Lefi dechias haGemara, later the Gemara will reject that, and according to the rejection, namely rejecting this attempt to support Shmuel from the laws of Truma, you will see the inverted volcano shape. Shmuel Soiver Karebi Eliezer. Shmuel, with regard to Truma, happens to hold like Rebbe Lozer, that Truma's Cheresh equals Sofek. That a deaf mute who tithes, who sets aside the Truma tithe, that has the status of something doubtful. Now, that's a key word. When you see something doubtful, you then begin to wonder why then, with regard to the Eishes Cheresh, did we say that there was no element of doubt, hence no need for an Osham Tolui? We need to explain that now. That which Shmuel said regarding some other man that has intimacy with the wife of a deaf mute, he is not obligated in an Osham Tolui. Hakavona, the explanation is, the intent is, Shebemes he suffik. Really, his marriage to her is an issue of doubt. Not like we said earlier that it's clear that he has no kinyan whatsoever. Quite to the contrary, there's an element of doubt. V'tam shein osham tolui. As far as why is there no osham tolui? After all, we explained earlier that osham tolui is brought when there is an element of doubt. The ein kan chaticha mishnei chatichos. This is a principle that's actually controversial. There's a machloikus about this. In order to bring an osham tolui, is it enough that a person encountered a doubt, or in addition to the element of doubt, it had to be a situation where there were one of two pieces there, and it wasn't clear which one the person had violated. This would be a case if there were, let us say, two pieces of meat, for example. One was chalev and one was not. One was definitely chalev and one was definitely not chalev. Chalev is that type of, or that portion or section of an animal that's forbidden, and one who would eat that inadvertently would be chayav a korban chatas. But if there's an element of doubt, namely there were two pieces, one was chalev and one was not chalev, and he doesn't know which one he ate, then he would bring an osham toloi. However, if there was simply one piece, and it wasn't clear whether it was chalev or something kosher, there would be no osham toloi. As we just presented things, we are not then denying that there's an element of doubt here, but it's not enough grounds because you didn't have two pieces, two entities, two elements. In this case, it would be two women, based upon which I would have enough reason for bringing the Osham Toloi. Now, let us continue in the Gemara. After having gone through the whole give and take in the Gemara, we are going back to now raising the question of, can we say that the issue of Truma tithing is the Tanaic source concerning the tithing of Truma on the Cheresh will support Shmuel. Now, what does the source say? So we reread Lema Mesayale Chamisha Lo Yisraimu Vim Tormu Ein Shumas and Truma. There are five kinds of people that should not tithe, and if they tithed, their tithe is not going to be considered a tithe, a Truma tithe. The following are listed. The first one is the one that is of primary importance to us. The rest is not important for us to dwell on right now. Number one, Cheresh, a deaf mute. Shoita, an imbecile. Three, Koton, a minor. Vatorim es sheino shelo, someone who goes over to someone else's untithed produce without the permission of the owner, and he separates the tithe. Ve'oived kichovim shetoram shel Yisrael afilu brishus Yisrael, or an idol worshipper that tithes Jewish-owned produce even with the instruction of the owner, ein trumaso truma. These tithes, these people tithing, would not result in an actual effective tithe. So what do we see? Let's focus on Cheresh. We say a Cheresh, if he tithes, ein trumaso truma. His act is meaningless. And likewise, the act of marrying a woman done by a deaf mute would be meaningless. She's not considered halachically a married woman. Therefore, if an outsider had intimacy with her, it would not result in the bringing of an osham toloi. The Gemara says, no, this source cannot support Shmuel, because Shmuel, when it comes to the issue of Truma, you will see he holds like Rabbi Elazar. Who, Shmuel, diomar ki Rabbi Elazar, desanya, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yitzchok, omer mishum Rabbi Elazar, trumas cheresh lo teitze l'chulin mitneishu safek. Rabbi Yitzchok, in quoting Rabbi Elazar, says that a deaf mute that tithed, so it is it's ineffective in exempting the rest of the produce as being now chulin, because what the cheresh does is considered suffic, it's considered doubtful. The Gemara asks, "E svira kerebi Elazar, if Shmuel holds like Rebbe Elazar that the actions of a cheresh fall in the category of doubt, then osham talmi nami lechayev. So the intimacy with the cheresh's wife should result in the bringing of an osham toloi. After all, the osham toloi is a sacrifice brought when there is an element of doubt." The Gemara responds, "Bo'inon chaticha mishte chatichos." In order for someone to be actually chayev, to be obligated in bringing an osham toloi, the nature of the doubt has to concern two entities or two elements or two pieces. and having intimacy with the wife of the Cheresh doesn't conform to that construction that would result in the bringing of an Asham Tolui. The Gemara asks, Umi boy Rebbe Lozer chaticho mishtei chatichois? Is that really so that the Tana Rebbe Lozer has that requirement? V'ha Tanya, Rebbe Lozer Omer, Koi chayovin al chelboi Asham Tolui. The Koi is a creature whose status is not clear. It's a Sufik Chaya Sufik Behema. Behema is a domesticated kosher variety animal, and a Chaya is an undomesticated kosher variety animal. Let us point out, concerning Chelev, the Torah prohibits the Chelev of Behemos, of domesticated animals. The Torah does not prohibit the Chelev of an undomesticated, of a wild animal. What is a koi? So Rebbe Lozer says a koi it falls into that doubtful area, and as a result, if one would eat the chelev, that those parts of the animal that are considered chelev, but that taken extracted from a koi, the koi creature, he would bring an osham tolui because of the doubt. But you don't have here two pieces. You don't have. You just have the koi. That single animal creates enough doubt to warrant bringing the Asham Tolui. So to suggest that Shmuel holds like Rebbe Lazar, why then does Shmuel say that in the case of Eishes Cheresh, when you just finished telling us that a Cheresh represents doubt, does he have Kinyan in mind or not? Why then is there an exemption of Asham Tolui, especially if Shmuel holds like Rebbe Lazar? The Gemara answers, Shmuel sovar k'Rebbe Lozer b'chada u'polig olei b'chada. Shmuel doesn't accept all opinions of Rebbe Lozer wherever they appear. Shmuel holds like Rebbe Lozer regarding the ability of a cheresh to conclude a deal, calling it a suffix, an element of doubt. Upoligole b'chado, but he disagrees with Rebbe Lozer regarding the requirements necessary for the bringing of an Asham Tolui. Whereas Rebbe Lozer says an Asham Tolui is brought as soon as there is an element of doubt, Shmuel says no. The mere doubt is not enough, but rather you have to have two pieces. One definitely chayev, and the other definitely potter, and the offender is not sure which one he consumed. The permitted one, the permitted piece, or the forbidden piece. And therefore, in the case of the Eishes Cheresh, you don't have two pieces, and therefore, no Asham Tolui. V'iko de'amri, Omar Reb Chiya Bar Ashi, Omar Shmuel, notice the stark contrast with the first Lashon, in the first version. Here, Shmuel says, Eishes Cheresh chayoven oleh Asham Tolui. That one who has intimacy with the wife of a deaf mute, he will have to bring an Asham Tolui, suspended guilt offering. Meisve, why should one be chayev an Asham Tolui? Chamisha lo yisraimu, etc. And in that source, here the Gemara is saving ink, but it's a reference to the source above. We saw there that the truma of a cheresh, ein truma so truma, it's nothing. So that the woman married to a cheresh, she should not be considered, halachically speaking, married, a married woman. Hence, there should be no sacrifice obligation if an outsider has intimacy with her. The Gemara answers, Sovar lo k'Rebbe Lozer. Shmuel says the reason that you bring an Asham Tolui is because that would be Rebbe Lozer's approach. Well, what is Rebbe Lozer's approach? First of all, we saw Rebbe Lozer say that the truma of a cheresh is considered safek. And as far as chaticho mishtei chatichos, Rebbe Lozer doesn't require that. And Shmuel holds, like Rebbe Lozer, lock, stock, and barrel. Hence, an eishes cheresh would result in the chiyuv of bringing an osham toli. Because of the element of doubt that's present, does a cheresh have enough, let's say, intent to create a kinyan, a bonding, a deal, and in this case, a marriage. The Gemara continues, Bo Rabbi Rav Ashi, my taimo de Rebbe Lozer. The topic heading that we have, you'll notice on the side of the Gemara, notice where we've written Nosei, and we indicate Shura Sheni Mehasof. The Nosei concerning the second to last line of Gemara, that's where we're holding right now. So we've written in that introductory remark or title of Sogia Birushitas Rebbe Lozer Beishas Cheresh, we're going to be analyzing the opinion of Rebbe Lozer, who says that an Eishas Cheresh, according to what we've just explained, that a Lefi Rebbe Lozer, the wife of a Cheresh, one who has intimacy with her, that would result in a guilt offering, a suspended guilt offering. The offender would have to bring an Asham Toloi. Let us, again, I know that we might sound repetitious at times, but the offender here was not aware that she was a married woman. Because if he did so with awareness, if he did so with intention to violate, or with awareness of the problem, then there's no sacrifice that's brought. But what we have to analyze is the root of the suffolk regarding the Eishes Cheresh. She's not considered a definite wife. If she was a definite wife, then someone who had unintentionally had intimacy with her, he would bring a korban chatos. But we don't have the Eishes Cheresh being considered a definite wife, but rather a suffolk. And as we said, we want to analyze this suffolk. There are going to be terms that appear in the Gemara. We'll be able to understand them much better by learning the Rashi along with the Gemara. But just by way of introduction, the two possibilities are Aleph, Chada, Daita. The Cheresh is a deaf mute, and his mindset, his intention is considered consistent, one consistent mindset. And we'll appreciate that more, as we said before, when we get into the Gemara and the Rashi. But there's another possibility. Shnei Daita. He has two mindsets. We'll call it a swinging psychological state. Sometimes he's itim cholim. Cholim means healthy. Sometimes he's purely lucid in thought. Itim shoytin. Sometimes he is imbecilic. He's inept. He's irresponsible. He's considered like a shoyta, like a fool. So he has these, we call this psychological or mental swings. So once again, chadadaito would mean one uniform type of psychological state or mental state, and Shnei Daita would represent this swing state. Now the Gemara. So Rav Ashi, my time Rav Lozer, Rav Ashi asks, what is the basis of Rav Lozer that says that the Eishes Cheresh will generate the Chiyuv Osham Toloi? And the analysis. Do we say Mifshad Pshito Le the Cheresh Daita Klishtahu? That it's clear to Rebbe Lozer that the mental capacity of a Cheresh is called Daito Klishta. Klishta means weak, literally thin or weak. That's clear to Rebbe Lozer. What is the element of doubt? The Gemara will go on to explain that momentarily. We'll just read a few more words of Gemara, and then we'll look at the Rashi. Is it clear to Rebbe Lozer that he has one uniform mindset or mental state? He calls it Daito Klishtahu. Omiu Misafkale I Daito Tzilusa Ilav Daito Tzilusa Ula Oilom Chado Daito. Here we've used a triangle to emphasize these two possibilities of chadadaita versus something else, versus the two states of mind. Oidilma, Rashi, the Gemara goes on, or possibly pshita lei de daita klishta v'lav daita tzlusahu. Or is it clear to Rebbe Lazar that he has a weak mentality and it is not with any degree of tzilusa, of clarity, so that if that's clear, that he has a weak, unclear mindset, the hachainu taimo, and here with regard to the eshes, cheresh, the following is the reason that there is doubt. Kevon de'itim cholim, ve'itim shoite. Because he has mind swings. Sometimes he is completely normal. And it could be at that point in time he married the woman, making him a full-fledged wife. Making her a full-fledged wife of the Cheresh. Vitim Shoite, and sometimes he has that, and sometimes he swings to imbecilic behavior. And it might be at that point that he had married the woman, making her a non-wife. In my estimation, this Gemara without Rashi remains a bit unclear or abstract. Let's try to gain greater clarity by going through the Rashi. Rashi we're looking at is second line from the bottom. My time to Reb Elazar be'eshes cheresh. What's the reason behind Reb Elazar regarding the eshes cheresh, concerning whom he said there would be an obligation to bring him oshan tolui if some other man had intimacy with her, the wife of the deaf mute. Klishta daka. The word klishta means something thin. Klomar daito mu'etes she'ein mechudid lahavin char b'neirom. He's not of sharpness of mind like other people. Umiu misafko lei idaito tzilusa hi oisik tzastas sheishlo. The little awareness that he has is it with clarity. Im tzlulahi uvameh shehu noisein daito ve'oisidover vaday kavanosu kavona. In a case like that, when he was, as they say, he puts his mind to it, so his intention is considered true intent. That's one that's the one side of the doubt. E lav daito tzla, or possibly he doesn't have clarity of thought. Uli oilom kol yomov shel cheresh pshita lei l'Rebbe Elazar dechado daito is lei l'cheresh. But as far as what is known to Rebbe Elazar is that the cheresh has a consistent, uniform state of mind, state of mental capacity. The eino itim cholim itim shoita. He is not sometimes totally normal and sometimes totally imbecilic. So once again, according to this side, according to this side of the analysis, the Tana Rebbe Elazar is of the opinion that the cheresh has a weak mindset. However, what's not clear to Rebbe Elazar, according to this side of the analysis, why would it be called suffek? Because the little mental capacity that he has, when he puts his mind to concentrating on whatever he's doing, he has clarity, or possibly not. That's all the analysis of one side of the possibilities. Oy Dilma, Rashi continues. Pshita lei, it's clear to the Tana Rebbe Elazar, delav daita tzilusahi, that he doesn't have clarity of thought. Elohainu taimo de misafka lei, rather, this is the reason that Rebbe Elazar has an element of doubt concerning the cheresh, de itim shu cholim legamri, The Daito Tzlula, he has a, we'll call, mental swings. Sometimes he's completely normal, with a total clarity of thought. The Chayshina Shema B'Shas Kiddushin Cholim Hoya were suspect that maybe it was at that time that he concluded, established a marriage with his wife. So now we turn back to the Gemara on the fourth line from the top. Lamai Nafkamina. What difference does it make in how we analyze the Cheresh as having one uniform mindset, or but a one uniform but weak mental capacity, or an individual has total swings from totally normal to imbecilic? Then my nafkamina, that what practical difference does this have? The hoitzi ishto beget, for him to be able to divorce his wife with a divorce document. I amris chada daitahu, if you say he has one uniform mindset, mental state, then no problem. Kekidushin kach gerushin, whatever mental state, whatever he was at the time he had married her, so too he is at the time he is divorcing her. So the divorce would be able to undo the marriage being done on the same level as the divorce, because he doesn't have swings in mental capacity. The Amris Itim Cholim Vitim Shoita, however, if you say that he can swing from totally normal to being imbecilic, Kiddushi Motzi Mekadesh, he can, in effect, marry a woman. Gerushi Lo Motzi Megarish, however, he won't be able to divorce her, because we're suspicious that when the marriage took place, he was of totally sound mind. And when he comes to divorcing her, he is at that point a shoita. And a shoita is an inept, unqualified individual to render a get. So that is a full presentation of Rebbe Lozer, and we don't. And with Gemara ends off, Teiku. We don't know. We don't know when Rebbe Lozer deals with the Cheresh. Is it a function of the Cheresh having one uniform das throughout his life, or does he go through a mental swing from one state to another? Nishtatis lo yotzi. The Mishnah had taught us that if a woman had become an imbecile, had become imbecilic, so she is not to be divorced. Now, on the side of the Gemara, we have a Noseiah topic heading, and we've written there, Din Shel Rebbe Lozer, Shel Rebbe Yitzchak, that the teaching of the law of Rebbe Yitzchak, Ha Dekotani Nishtatis Lo Yotzi, that which the Mishnah taught, that a woman who becomes a Shoita, she cannot be divorced, Hainu Midurabonan, that is true on a rabbinic level, Avol Mina Torah Shoita Miskareshes, but from a purely Torah standpoint, the Shoita could be divorced. The Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Dvar Torah Shoita Miskareshes, from a Torah standpoint, the imbecilic woman can be divorced. Midi Dehave Apikris Bal Korcha, no different than a woman of sound mind, a normal woman, being divorced against her will. And we know that even though she doesn't want to be divorced, she lacks intent to be divorced, she is nevertheless able to be divorced. So too, the Shoita, she lacks intent by her very nature, she also can be divorced. Why do the rabbis intervene and say she cannot be divorced? Answer Shelo Yinhagu Bo Minig Hefker, so that men would not behave in an immoral fashion with her, with this unwedded, imbecilic female, as long as she has a husband, so he watches over her. Other men aren't going to start up with her, but once she would be released, she is prey for the immoral members of the population. As you can see, the Gemara proceeds with a long question, and you'll see the double underlining marking, which is one of our series markings, and on the side under the Mivneh, we feature the double underline and indicate Gimel Shlovim. There are three stages, Levarer Heichi Domi Hod Reb Yitzchok, the circumstances concerning which Reb Yitzchok said his law. So we continue. Heichi Domi. Regarding this shoita that he said can be divorced on a Torah level, but on a rabbinic level, no. She is a woman, though she's not totally normal, but nevertheless she has the capacity of watching her get. When she receives the divorce document, she knows how to keep it in safekeeping, and she knows, she has enough sense to watch herself, to keep herself away from trouble. If it's a woman like that, who would start up with her and deal with her immorally? So that's not the type of woman that Rabbi Yitzchok was describing in his halacha. Ela the ein yodas lishmor logita velo atzma. You want to say that Rabbi Yitzchok was dealing with a kind of woman that wouldn't be able to watch her get, and she can't watch herself either? Then why would Rabbi Yitzchok say Dvar Torah Shoyta Misgareshes? Why would he say that from a Torah standpoint she is able to be divorced? Omar Debay Rabbi Yanai, was it not said in the Yeshiva Rabbi Yanai? The pasuk in Sefer Dvarim says V'nosan biyada. The pasuk dealing with divorce says V'nosan biyada. You put in her hands the divorce document, and we understand that to mean Mishiyesh lo yad legareish atzmo. Someone who has the capacity, literally the hand for receiving a get, to the exclusion Yotzezuzu shein lo yad legareish atzmo. To the exclusion of a woman who has absolutely no control, not only over her get, but over herself. She doesn't know how to watch anything. The Tana Debay Rabbi Yishmael, and in the Yeshiva Rabbi Yishmael, they feature the following Tanaic source, Vishalchami Beiso. Once again, the Pasuk dealing with divorce. She receives the get, and she is sent away from his house. What kind of woman is described in the Pasuk? Mi shemishalcha v'yena chozeres, a type of woman that when you send her away, she doesn't come bouncing right back. Yotzezu, to the exclusion of the shoita, shemishalcha v'chozeres, a woman that is an imbecile, you'd send her away, she'd come bouncing right back home. Rashi says, shekein minig ha-shoitim shein boishin, a shoita, an imbecile, way doesn't even experience any sense of embarrassment. In contrast to a normal woman, when she's divorced, if we can use harsh terms, she's thrown out of the house. She experiences a great deal of embarrassment. She wouldn't come right back. So it's only that kind of woman that lends herself to being divorced. So what is the kind of woman that Rabbi Yitzchok is dealing with in his law? Lo tzricha. What he is dealing with is the yidas lishmor gita v'ein yidas lishmor atzma. She knows how to keep guard, take care of things that she is given, but regarding herself, she doesn't know how to avoid being the subject of immorality. Therefore, Dvar Torah Shoita Misgareshes. From a Torah standpoint, she has enough qualifications for the Torah to recognize her being divorced. Daha Yodas Lishmor Gita. She knows how to watch over her divorce document. The Omur Rabbonon, however, the Rabbonon say, Lo Lifka, don't send her out. Shelo yinagu bo min hakefker, so that the menfolk in the general population do not deal with her immorally. Omar Abai Daikonami, Abai points out that through careful reading, we can see this point, this distinction between that the woman we're talking about is the way we describe, that there's one, we'll say, the Torah level way of dealing with her and the rabbinic way. Dikotoni Gabi Dida, in the Mishnah, it says, when speaking from the woman's standpoint, it says, Nishtates lo yotzi. If she became an imbecile, so the man is not to divorce her. The Gabi Didei, and when the focus of attention is on him, it says, regarding the man, lo yotzi oilomis. He shall never send her away. Maishno hocha dekotoni oilomis. Why, when it refers to the man, to the husband, does it say he shall never send her away? Umaishno hosam delokotoni oilomis. And when describing the woman, it says that if she became nishtatis, she became a fool, it doesn't use the word oilomis. Elo shma mino, from here we see that the Mishnah is supporting Rav Yitzchak's approach, ha doraisa, on the Torah level, we have that which it says that she can be sent, that she can't be sent away, but and ha derabonan, if we the distinction in terminology reflects one on a Doraisa level and the other on a rabbinic level. As we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a nosei where we've written Hesper Hamasu Maton, an explanation of the give and take, Bein Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri v'chachomim. This goes back to the Mishnah Daf Kufyud Beis Omid Beis, the discussion between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachomim be'inyan pikeach and pikachas shenischarish or nischarsha. So in the Mishnah we saw Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri asking, if you have the Mishnah in front of you, you'll notice it's the third wide line where Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri asks, mitnei ma ha'isha shenischarsha yoitzo v'isha nischarish eino motzi. Why the difference between man and woman? A woman who became a deaf mute, she can be divorced, whereas a man who became a deaf mute cannot initiate a divorce. The Rabbonan answered, Omru lo einu doime ho'ish ha-megaresh le'ish ha-mezgareshes. You can't compare a man who is divorcing to the woman who is being divorced. Sho'ish ha-yotz l'rutzoinim sh'l'rutzoino. A woman can be divorced whether it's with her acceptance, her willingness, or even against her will, whereas a man can initiate a divorce only if it's his will. And then Heyed Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgeda ala chareshes shesiavia shiyotze beget. Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgeda tells us about a deaf mute that was married off by her father when she was a minor, and the father had accepted the kiddushin on her behalf. That's a full-fledged marriage. And the testimony was, she yotze beget, she can be divorced with a divorce document. Omru lo, the Chachomim said, af zu kayotze bo, the pikachas shenischarsha is the same, that she can be divorced. And not only that, but she can be divorced even though she doesn't have a ratzon, a willingness for that. So now we turn to our Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri v'chule, Ibai Eloho, the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, ish pshitole v'isho kamibayale, is, as the halacha regarding the man, something that is obvious to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri that he knows about the man, namely that a ish shenischarish cannot initiate a divorce. And he's asking that, granted that that's the case, why is there a difference between him, which I understand, for Isha come a violin? He's asking about the woman. Oy Dilma, Isha Pshitole, or it is obvious to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri what the law is regarding the woman, that she can always be divorced. Fish coming by Eleni was asking about the man. Why is it that the man cannot always initiate a divorce, even if he's a cheresh? So the question, once again, is what point in Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's approach to things, or in his mindset, which is the known and which is the unknown? Ta shma. So the Gemara responds, answers, Midaka amru lei, from the way that the Rabbanon responded to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in the Mishnah, we can see what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was aware of. So from the fact that they said, Eino doime ha'ish ha'megarish le'isha ha'mezgarish, you can't compare the issue of the man to the issue of the woman. Sho'isha yotzis l'ritzonev sh'litzon, a woman can be divorced with her approval and even without her approval. Voish eino motzi elo l'ritzono, a man cannot divorce unless he himself has a desire to do so. Shma mina, from the structure we can see, ish kama bayale, the issue concerning the man was what was troubling Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. In other words, knowing that the woman, under all circumstances, can be divorced, he was asking, why is it that the man can't operate under all circumstances as well? The Gemara responds to that and says, Adarabba, to the contrary, Midaka Omru Lo, from the fact that later in the Mishnah we saw the Rabbanon saying to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Af Zu Kayotse Ba. Oh, this, namely the case of the Pikris Shenischarsha, is like the case that was featured by Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgeda, namely that a woman can be divorced even against her will. So from the fact that that's how they responded to him and said, Af Zu Kayotse Ba, oh, so too the Pikris Shenischarsha is like that, Shma Mino, that was his point of question, Isha Kome Bayale, that it was the issue of the woman that he wasn't sure of. So which way are we to go with regard to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Which point was clear to him, and which point was the point of investigation, of question? Ella, new approach. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri l'divrayim ka'omer lohu. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was addressing the Rabbanon on their terms. Now we should just note that the Tanakama in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Yud Beis says that a pikeach shenosa pikchis, a normal person that married a normal woman, im nischarsha yochol lahotzi lahotziyof, if she became a deaf mute, he can divorce her. Im nischarish hu, if he became a deaf mute, eino yochol lahotzi, so he cannot divorce her. So with that in mind, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is speaking to the Rabbanon on their terms. Lididi, as far as I am concerned, ki hechi de ish lo motzi megaresh ishonami lo migrisho. Just like a man who became an imbecile cannot initiate a divorce, a woman who had become an imbecile cannot be divorced. Ela lididhu, but according to you, my shno isha u my shno ish. What is the basis of making a distinction between a woman that became a deaf mute, that she can be divorced, versus a man that became a deaf mute cannot initiate a divorce? Omru le, they said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Eino doime ha'ish hamagaresh le'isha hamezgareshes. You can't compare them, a man to the woman. The woman can be divorced even against her will, as you find even in the case of normal women, A man, on the other hand, has to have sound mind in order to initiate a divorce. Hayid Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgado, we recently just made reference to that in the Mishnah. He spoke about a ketana that was a deaf mute that was married off by her father. Omar Rava, may a duso shel Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgado, from his testimony that concerning the Chareshis, the minor deaf mute that was married by her father, that she is divorced, she can be divorced through a divorce document. So from this testimony of his, now we should point out Rashi, he adds a little twist to this. Rabbi Yochanan de Omar da filu b'mokim kiddushin gemurim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgado said that even when the original kiddushin was a full-fledged bonding, marital bond, lo bo'inon daito di isha begerishin, we don't require that woman's awareness and certainly consent when it comes to the divorce. So now, with that in mind, that the woman can be divorced even without her das, without her approval, without her intent to be divorced, the following will apply. Omar li'edim. A husband says to two witnesses, Ru, get ze shani noisein. Take note of this divorce document that I am about to give. And the woman, the lady, the wife, doesn't hear this. So his statement to the edim is made, we'll say, behind her back. Note this divorce document that I'm going to be giving. The Omar law, and then he turns to the woman and says to his wife, and says, Kinsi shtar chov zeh. Take this bill of debt. Harezu migureshes. The result of that would be her being divorced. Now, was she aware that she was receiving a divorce document? No. Does that matter? No. Mi lo Omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgado. Is it not so that he said lo bo'inon daito, that we don't require her awareness? Hacha nami lo bo'inon daito. So too in the case we just featured, her das is not required. The Gemara asks on what Rava said, pshita. What Rava is pointing out is quite obvious, that that's what would be the halacha according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgado. So what do I need Rava for? The Gemara answers, and this answer takes a couple lines to develop. Mahu de tema, I would have thought, mi de omar lo kinsi shtar chov zeh, from the fact that when giving the get to the woman, to his wife, he says, take this bill of collection. Betule batle, that is tantamount to his annulling the get, his canceling, his voiding of the get. Komash malon, what Rava is telling us is the following. Isa de batle, if his real intention was to mavatel the get, to annulify it, li aidim have kamalu, he would have told this to the witnesses. Umidolo Omar li aidim, from the fact that he did not spell this out to the witnesses, lo batle velo midi, he wasn't voiding it at all. The high de kamar hachi, the fact and that which he spoke thusly to the woman, take this bill of divorce, take this bill of debt. Machmas kisufo de kamar law. He was embarrassed. Kisufa means that he was embarrassed. He was embarrassed to tell her, take your divorce document. So, without Rava, I would have thought, as the Gemara just said, that he, in fact, by saying kinsi shtar chov zeh, that he was nullifying the get. Rava then comes to tell me that's not so. It's not a nullification, but the get remains a get, and that he said to the woman, to his wife, shtar chov, he said that out of mere embarrassment. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.